who are you? Who are you? If someone was to ask you that question, how would you answer them? Would you say something like this? My name is, whatever your name is, I am so many years old. I was born in, wherever you happen to be born. I go to Ayersham School, Linthorp School, Green Lane, Cader, wherever. My hobbies are football, scuba diving. My favourite food is it pizza? Is it burger? Is it fruit and vegetables? Fruit and vegetables, anyone? Yes, some healthy people there, that's great. Or would you say something like this? I am a carpenter, or a car mechanic, or a doctor. It said, you know, that many men in particular think that who they are is all tied up with what they do. And it can be particularly hard for them if they lose their job, because when they do, they also lose an important part of their identity. They don't know who they are anymore. And these things, you know, they're all very interesting, but they don't actually say a lot about who we are. Or maybe you would say something like this, which I think gets much closer to the heart of who we really are. I am the son and daughter of. I have 6 sisters and 17 brothers. My grandmother is. I have 6 grandchildren. On a television program, Who Do You Think You Are?, they trace some celebrities' family history back as far as they can go, and they find out some really interesting things about their relatives who've gone before them, their great-great-great-grandmothers and grandfathers. And some of them find their families are from different parts of the world that they never imagined they were from, or they did really interesting or worthwhile things. Jeremy Clarkson found out that one of his ancestors invented the Kilner jar, and he set up a big factory, and he made loads of money, a great deal of money. And then one of his ancestors that came after that squandered it all and lost it all. Now, I'll let you decide which one of those two that Jeremy Clarkson looks most like. So just finding out who our ancestors are, all those relatives in our family who have gone before us, really tell us who we are. A couple of months ago, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, discovered that the person that he had grown up thinking was his dad wasn't his real father, and that his real father was a man he barely knew, or his birth father, rather, I'd rather say, was a man he barely knew. And that must have made him ask, well, who am I really? Who do you think you are? Let's pray. Lord, we do want to see Jesus lifted high. And we thank you for this wonderful story that he told. And we pray that each one of us would leave here today with a deeper understanding of that story and of how it applies to us. We ask this for the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. So who are you? I've read the story of the prodigal son lots and lots of times, and over the years I've discovered new truths in the story every time that I've not seen before. And when I was getting ready for this morning, there's no exception. There's something that I saw for the first time. And it's to do with that important question, who do you think you are? It's there in this story, I believe. The story is about a man and his 2 sons. We don't know any of their names. We know the man must have been well off because he has property and he has servants. We know he owned land and animals, and his elder son worked on the farm. The younger son, well, he was a bit of a no-gooder. He didn't want to stay at home. Home was boring. Life was going to be much more exciting away from home. as far as possible away from home, wherever, so he could do whatever he wanted and live whatever kind of life he wanted to live, with no one asking any questions. He wanted to be where he would be anonymous, where no one knew who he was. So he asked his father for his share of the estate. In other words, what he was saying to his father was, I wish you were dead, so I could have your inheritance money now. But since it looks as if you're going to be around for a bit longer, sadly, why don't you just give me the money now? So his father did. And off he went to a far distant country where he lived the kind of life he wanted to live. He parted big time. Now, you can tell this was a long, long time ago by the flares. So he parted and parted and parted until the money ran out. Meanwhile, back at home, his big brother was doing as he should do. He was working hard on his father's farm and doing all the goody-two-shoes things that big brothers and sisters always seem to do. But for the little brother, life went from bad to worse. Not only had he run out of money, there was a famine in the country where he lived, and it ran out of food. So he got himself a job on a pig farm, feeding pigs. Now, for a good Jewish boy who thought that pigs were filthy animals, this was the lowest of the low. So it was time to take drastic action, and he did some thinking. How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I have nothing? I'm starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he set off home. But before he got there, his father saw him way, way out in the distance. And he was so full of love for him that he couldn't stop himself. He was so excited. He ran and ran and ran till he met his son, and he was able to give him a great big hug. And the younger son started to say his speech that he had prepared in his head. You know, as you do, when you've got something important to say, you kind of run through it in your head, don't you? Well, he did that. And he started, Father, I have sinned against you. But his father wouldn't let him finish. Instead, he insisted that his son is treated like a king. His dad was so happy because this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now he's found. But as we know, the elder son wasn't happy. He wasn't the least bit happy. When he got back from the fields and found that all this singing and dancing you could hear was in honor of his nasty little brother, well, he thought it was so unfair. It wasn't what his brother deserved. And what about him? He'd been working all these years. Shouldn't he have got what he deserved? And his dad tried to persuade him to come into the party. But he was having none of it. Look, he said, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. What I find interesting is this. Never once does the older brother call his father, father, or dad. Instead, he moans at him as if, instead of being his dad, his father's actually a slave driver, a mean slave driver. All these years I've been slaving for you. He doesn't think of himself as a son. He thinks of himself as a slave who has to work hard. He thinks of that because of all his hard work and obedience, he deserves much, much more than he's had. And certainly much more than the younger man. He can't even call his brother. This son of yours, he calls him. But if you look back at the younger son, you'll see that again and again he talks about his father. How many of my father's hired servants? I will set out and go to my father and say to him, Father. The son said to him, Father, my father, my father, father, father. No matter how much he'd done wrong, no matter how badly he treated his father, he knew that he was still his son and he was still his father. Nothing could change that. What had changed was that he no longer deserved to be called his father's son, and he no longer deserved to be treated like a son. He deserved to be treated like a hired servant. Deep down, despite everything, he knew he was his father's son. He also knew what he deserved. But when he returned to his father, he found he received not what he deserved, but huge amounts of his father's abundant generosity and forgiveness. His father called him this son of mine. Despite everything, he still loved him. He was still his son. He forgave him everything. You know, we don't become part of our families because we work hard. We aren't loved because we deserve to be loved. We haven't earned it. We're loved because we're loved. And that's what makes us who we are. Justin Welby, when the newspapers were full of the story of who his birth father was, said simply, I find my true identity in Jesus Christ. One of these sons knew he was a son. The other thought he was a slave. So when you think about this story of the prodigal son, who do you think you are? Do you think you are a child of God, dearly loved by your heavenly Father, so much loved that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you? That is how precious you are in God's sight. Or do you think God takes you for granted, that he's a hard taskmaster that you have to, that you can never please and you can't do enough for? Who do you think you are? A child or a slave? And who do you think God is? A loving father or a slave master? Jesus came so we can know God as Father, so that we can become children of God. The prayer he taught his disciples to pray, in which we prayed earlier, begins with these words, Our Father in heaven. God gives his followers the gift of the Holy Spirit, who makes us cry from deep within our hearts, Abba, Father. All we have to do to become children of God is to trust Jesus Christ and to rely on what he has done for us when he died on the cross for us. Died that we might be forgiven. Just as a younger son was forgiven and accepted fully by his father. We don't have to work to earn God's love. He loves us. And it's up to us simply to receive it by trusting Jesus Christ. Now, it may be that you've never actually taken that step And if you haven't, then I'd suggest you get the prayer team, prayers to pray for you later in the service, or come and see me. I've got a little booklet I can give you that just helps explain how you can become a child of your loving Heavenly Father and know that love for yourself. Know that you are a child of God, forgiven and accepted.